At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And we don't just mean the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go paper-tarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out, the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money presented by DraftKings here on VSiN, the sports betting network. On a Tuesday, 23rd of April, we say hi. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. The big guy, Dustin Sweetelson, hanging out at the D downtown Las Vegas. Got a busy show for you. Of course, it is draft week. We're going to have a draft guest coming up. We've got you covered on Thursday. We're going to have a beat writer from the top 5 teams that are drafting in this draft. So we're going to go straight to the source come Thursday. We'll have plenty, a couple of surprises as well. Connor Rogers, NBC Sports, NFL draft analyst, will join coming up in about 44 minutes. Look, we're just about 48 hours out. Detroit on Thursday, round one, a draft that, as far as anticipation, it's near the top because you've got the quarterbacks, you've got the wide receivers, you've got intrigue, you've got trades. There's a lot to do when it comes to the draft and obviously the betting. You can find a wide menu over at DraftKings to get involved. Zach Harper, one of our NBA insiders, The Athletic, he's going to join. Mike Randall, the GOAT from FTN, he'll stop by. Adam Burke, VSiN.com's managing editor, and Aaron Halterman, RacingDudes.com handicapper, he's going to stop by as well. We open up the show just quickly, let you know what's on tap for today. Of course, you've got the 3 in the NBA, the 4 in the NHL, and baseball loaded with 15 games today as well. Phoenix is at Minnesota. Minnesota, a commanding 1-0 lead. Now, I say commanding just because of the way it went down. The rebounding, the physicality, the way the T-Wolves play over the weekend. Now, this number is sitting 3 at DraftKings with Minnesota laying it. I do see a couple of 2.5s. So something to note. We'll kind of monitor the line movement over the next 3 hours. Indiana at Milwaukee, Dame time was legit in the first half. 35 points, finished with 35. That's all it took because the Pacers were a disaster. The game tonight, the Bucks are laying 1. Interesting number there. We'll talk about why. And Dallas at the Clippers, just a few miles down the road from here at Staple or Crypto, whatever they're calling it. Now, it's interesting because the Clippers are going to unveil their new arena even closer to me here, Inglewood. When you're watching the Rams games and the Chargers games, it's going to be right over there where the old Forum with the Lakers used to be. But the Clippers up 1-0 in the series. They're laying 1.5 tonight. It'll be fascinating because that series price didn't really adjust that much, because there's a lot of Maverick obsession right now based on how they played post All-Star break. It'll be fascinating to see what version of the Mavs we get, because we did not get a good version, if we're being honest. We got a lethargic and sleepy version of the Mavs on Sunday. Okay, so that's where we start. Now, Of course, we have to start with what we saw last night. And it's funny when it comes to the NBA. And I know the NBA casts a wide net as far as there's a lot of animus on one side. It's not played. The game's not played like it used to be played. Players resting. I completely have empathy for you if you get bogged down in 82 games. And then you have NBA Twitter. So there's this like chasm of the young, new school, don't even watch the games, just kind of comment through social media. And then you have the old heads who are just like, bring back MJ, bring back Larry. What about the bad boy Pistons? And an 82 game season becomes a slog, specifically when now teams are just kind of systematically trying to figure out who they're going to play, who they're not going to play. And that's why I always point to, I love the in-season tournament at the beginning, because from a bettor's perspective, and that's what we're doing here, you were getting equal motivation. And I love the post All-Star break stretch, aside from those teams tanking, because you're getting motivation, and also you can kind of look at the standings and understand what teams are trying to do as far as seeding. And then I always kind of focus on the 2 months that we're now embarking on, and that is the postseason, because the postseason is just a different beast. From a viewership perspective, the first round tends to be a little less dramatic, and then it starts to heat up a little bit. But from a betting perspective, I mean, there's certainly the unders, and there's certainly things you can pick out and find inefficiencies. And again, you battle for 82 games and 6 months, and then a game comes down to 27 seconds, and it seems to make the 82 games worth it. The Knicks beat the 76ers last night, 104-101, to take a 2-0 series lead. Those are the facts. That's what happened. The Knicks beat the 76ers, and now they have a commanding 2-0 series lead. Those are the facts. But the reality is much, much crazier. MSG last night, just under 40 seconds to go. The Knicks down 101-96. DiVincenzo scoops the ball under the hoop. It's a loose ball. They're scrapping. It's playoff intensity. He busted out to Brunson in the corner. Brunson takes a shot. Looks like a bad shot. Bounces up and then drops slowly through the basket. Now it's 101-99, 27 seconds to play, and then madness ensued. Philadelphia, are they calling timeouts? They're trying to get the ball in. Maxey's on the ground. He thinks he's fouled. He's not. Loose ball. DiVincenzo, top of the key, misses it. Rebound, Hartenstein kicks it back out to, of course, Dante DiVincenzo. And then this happened.
Hartenstein gets it out to Ananobi. DiVincenzo a three. Bang! Bang! Knicks take a one-point lead with 13 seconds remaining.
Knicks take a one-point lead. Mike Breen, the legend, with the double bang. Bang! Bang! The Knicks take a one-point lead with 13 seconds to go, but it wasn't over. It certainly wasn't over. The 76ers down one had played great in the game. Down one, 13 seconds to go. And here comes Maxey, and here comes that dude, Hartenstein, who was all over it on the offensive boards with one of the great blocks, reminiscent of Tayshaun Prince back in the day versus the Pacers. Look it up, kids. Reminiscent of LeBron chasing down. Look it up, kids. Okay. Golden State, just go Tayshaun Prince, Pacers block, YouTube. It's wonderful. But last night, Hartenstein with the block. And again, the Knicks, Madison Square, the energy was legitimate. And in the end, 104-101, the Knicks beat the 76ers. Nice little cover by your 76ers. But in the end, it was a miracle on 33rd Street. We welcome in the big guy, who is, of course, a cute little show on Sunday. You got the Double Play podcast. And he put his big boy pants on today, and he's going to join us because, of course, he couldn't wait to fire off the text message to me as the 76ers looked like they were going to rip home court advantage away from the Knicks. So he was excited, because here's the thing about Dustin. Pride matters than anything else in his little world. So as much as he's come around on the Knicks being the better team, his original proclamation was the 76ers, they created some fear. So as much as he's going to tell you he wants the Knicks to advance, he much prefers the 76ers because that is pride. And pride is dangerous. You understand? Tolstoy wrote about it. You can look it up, kids. I mean, go back to Marcus Aurelius. Pride is a dangerous thing to stand on, especially with those cute little toes and those nine size shoes where he stands on all 10 and he decides the Knicks. Miracle. 33rd.
Well, what's up? Look, man. You want to talk about emotions.
Look, man.
Emotions were high in the apartment last night because you're saying I'm putting my big point pants on? No. We're putting on 12-year-old Dustin's pants, even though they don't really fit right now, because I felt like a kid again. I finally had a moment on the floor with the Knicks where I got taken back to my youth when I used to live and die with this team. This used to be my team every single night. And as you get older, you go through stuff. You know, you're back in, you're back out. You monitor what's happening. You convince yourself certain draft picks are going to play out. But when I think back at my time being a Knicks fan, last night, that moment, those final seconds with that play with DiVincenzo to hit that three, it's probably the best Knicks moment for me on the floor that's happened in an actual game since Allen Houston against the Heat when the number 8 seeded Knicks beat the number 1 seeded Heat. But there haven't been a lot of great on the floor moments recently for me. Like, I think back, got really excited when the Knicks hired Phil Jackson. Well, that didn't work out. I got really excited when the Knicks traded for Carmelo Anthony. That didn't work out. Also got excited when they traded for Stephon Marbury before that. That didn't work out. Was really excited when they drafted Kristaps Porzingis. That didn't work out. So recently, it's been a minute since I was able to feel like a kid again, watching the Knicks and actually by myself yell out an audible, oh my God, watching a game, and it was a positive.
Yeah, and you brought up Allen Houston, and he's a Piston. So I think you should probably forget the past and remember the present and live in it. Can we hear the clip, fellas, Reggie and the crew in the back one more time? DiVincenzo, not afraid after he missed the first three, fearless. And again, fearless continues to be a theme with these Knicks, right, big guy? DiVincenzo, he's not afraid of the 76ers like Dustin Sweetelson is. And Mike Breen, while he's doing a national broadcast, remember, he is the voice. He is the voice of the Knicks. So the double bang was purposeful. Let's hear it one more time.
Hartenstein gets it out to Ananobi. DiVincenzo a three. Bang! Bang! Knicks take a one-point lead with 13 seconds remaining.
It's lit. And you see the crowd. I'm going to tell you something right now. Look, people crush MSG. Oh, it's a bunch of celebrities. Those people were freaking. That thing and that energy and that aura was coming through my television in Hermosa Beach, California. The vibes were high. And, you know, look, again, the big guy, he's going to pretend to be excited about this, but these are my Knicks and the miracle on 33rd Street. I do appreciate it.
One of us has them winning the East. One of us put our money down on the Knicks to win. I don't remember you doing that. You didn't go through the trials and tribulations as a Knicks fan. Here's what I will say. I am not built like the Knicks. That is very obvious. I was scared of the 76ers. It's clear they are not. The New York Knicks are built different, and it all starts right here and right here.
And what are you built like?
A monster.
You're built like a monster. Maybe we should run that one back. Okay, so that was game one, and that was just the appetizer because the nightcap was just as good. We're back.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Experience the thrill of the NFL draft with VSiN's exclusive coverage on Thursday. Starting at 6 p.m. Eastern with VSiN Primetime, hosts Tim Murray and Jonathan Von Tobel and special guests Mike Golic Sr., Mike Golic Jr., as they dive deep into the draft prospects and predictions. Stay locked in for a special edition of the GM Shuffle at 8 p.m. Eastern, where former executive Michael Lombardi and Femi Abebefe bring you real-time analysis of the first-round picks. Michael will give you his thoughts on every pick and trade as they happen. Watch this special edition of the GM Shuffle on VSiN, DraftKings Network, or VSiN's YouTube page. Cap off the night at 11 p.m. Eastern time with VSiN Tonight, where they will wrap up all the first-round action. Find all your NFL draft betting insights, including Matt Heumann's mock draft, at vsin.com/draft. We got you back here. Sharp Money presented by DraftKings. So we talked, and we'll give you the adjusted series prices and talk about the numbers here in just a little bit. But we talked about, you know, you battle for 82 games, 6 months of a regular season slog in the NBA, and then it's almost like 27 seconds makes it feel worth it, because that wasn't just what we watched for 6 months. That had a different intensity, a different vibe, and then you still had one to go, and you had legends playing in the nightcap. And here are the facts. The Nuggets beat the Lakers 101-99 to take a 2-0 series lead, just like I told you the Knicks beat the 76ers to take a 2-0 series lead. So again, those are the facts, but the reality, Dustin Sweetelson, is much crazier than the facts. He was in a hurry to hit the 15-footer. Murray hit a step-back jumper at the buzzer over Anthony Davis, which is fascinating because that capped a stunning 20-point second-half comeback for the champs. As he was falling into the bench, he never even saw the shot go in. But the most fascinating thing about Jamal Murray hitting that 15-footer over a 7-footer was he had missed 13 of his first 16 shots. I'm not sure Jamal Murray had ever had a shooting performance like he did last night. And yet, as Jokic said, he made the tough shots and he missed the easy ones. That's a great quote, and that's what champions do. They make the tough shots even if they miss the easy ones. And it was crazy because 13 seconds left, LeBron James, he missed the three-pointer. The game's tied up at 99. Malone doesn't call a timeout here, and I thought that was fascinating because the game is tied, and simply he didn't want the Lakers to have a chance to set the defense. So he doesn't call a timeout. He trusts Murray. He trusts Jokic. And Murray, again, came through kind of a step back because he knew he had to get some arc on it over the 7-footer and Anthony Davis. And he said he didn't even see the shot go in because he was blocked by a 7-footer. And then he fell into the arms of his teammates where he was mobbed. It was a great scene and almost an improbable scene after what we had just seen at Madison Square. You head to Denver where the Nuggets, a 101-99 winner. So again, you had a cover from the 76ers. You had a cover by the Lakers. And that's where we should focus. The Lakers, I'm not sure in the history of that storied franchise if you could stack up 10 worse losses. I mean, that was an impossible loss for the Lakers. Anthony Davis had 32. He was tremendous. LeBron James had 26. He looked like he was 26 years old in the game. And D'Angelo Russell had 7 3-pointers. They were up 59-44 at the half. They were up 68-48 with 2 minutes into the third quarter. And they were up 10 entering the fourth. And then greatness. Not the Lakers, not LeBron, the Nuggets and Jokic answered the bell.
It was a position the Lakers needed. They were trying to steal home court like the 76ers, and their hearts got ripped out from them. That's 10 straight losses by the Lakers to this Nuggets team as we head back to Los Angeles. We'll get the adjusted series prices. But again, you had so much drama and intrigue with that 76er-Knicks game, and then equal drama and intrigue with the Lakers and Nuggets. What a game, big guy. What a game.
The last two just have to be absolutely brutal for the Lakers to deal with. Leading into the second half, I believe in both of them, yesterday, 20-point lead, and then a 10-point lead going into the fourth quarter alone, blowing that thing. It's weird because the Nuggets never feel like they're ever out of a game. Even down 20, you were just waiting for the run, and it felt like the Nuggets were waiting for the run. They're saying, all right, give us your best, give us your best. We'll wait. We don't need much time. And sure enough, in the fourth quarter, they just went out of their freaking minds on both ends. Michael Porter Jr. with a couple big shots. Aaron Gordon stepped up for them. I think that's the key for them, is when those role guys can help supplement what Murray and Jokic are doing when Murray's having an off night. But Jokic is just, look, until further notice, he's the MVP. The Nuggets are the favorite to win the championship every year because there isn't a player, there isn't a system, there isn't a scheme. He is inevitable. He's going to carry this team all the way to the finals every single year as long as he's healthy.
Yeah, I thought Brown was great in the game as well. I mean, Jokic, it's at this point, it's almost like it's just, that's what he does. But if you take a look at the numbers, he had a triple-double last night.
It's crazy.
But not just a triple-double. He owned every part of this game. I thought LeBron was equally as magical, if I'm being fair. 27, 20 rebounds for Jokic and 10 boards. LeBron, he had 26, 12 assists and 8 dimes. But he was kind of in control of that game. Anthony Davis, 32 and 11. We mentioned D'Lo. D'Lo didn't just have 7 three-pointers. He was 7 of 11 from 3. Hit his first 6 three-pointers. It was a wild game. But if I were to tell you, you're going to get that game from Davis, that game from James, and that game from D'Lo, and your heart gets ripped out, I mean, that is debilitating as they come back to Los Angeles.
No. There's no coming back from that. Series price right now, minus 1,100 on the Nuggets. The Lakers, 7-1, if you think they can go back to L.A. and make this an actual series. I really liked a lot of the things the Lakers did. I mean, they led most of the game. We're going to look back on this series and look at it and be like, wait, hold on. The Lakers led for like 80% of this series, but they're not winning the games. I loved how they got D'Lo involved very early. I thought Davis on both ends had a massive, massive, massive impact. And then LeBron. LeBron's 39 years old. And the effort in the fourth quarter, defensively, offensively, selflessness as a facilitator, grabbing boards, helping on Jokic in big moments. There's nothing he couldn't do. It was incredible. Whatever they have him on, I would just like a quarter of that dose just to keep going in life.
Okay, well, you did call yourself a monster a little bit earlier, so maybe a double dose. What's funny about the Lakers sitting 7-1, it just shows you kind of the tax on a team like the Lakers, because people still want to bet them because LeBron, they still believe in them. They're down 0-2 to the defending champs and an all-time great. They're 7-1. The Pelicans are down 0-1 to the Oklahoma City Thunder, the youngest team ever to capture a one seed, and they're 7-1.
That's a good point.
Think about that.
And the Pelicans, it feels like you can build a case for why they can come back and win that series. Like, absolutely. The Lakers, they should be able to hang with Denver. Everything says like they have a bunch of nice pieces to help, but there's just no answer in the second half, and specifically the fourth quarter, when Jokic decides he finally cares and wants to run away from you.
Well, no, he does care the whole entire game. You just project that wish he would be more animated.
No, he
does care.
I think
you don't grab 20 rebounds without caring.
He's making it fun for himself. He's like, I'll toy around. I'll grab boards. Won't be involved offensively. I'll let them think they have this. Oh, there's 9 minutes left. All right, time to put him away. Put him to sleep. Time to win this game. That's what he does.
Yep. No.
What a night of basketball. I mean, the Nuggets and Lakers, the Knicks and Sixers.
Wait for the shtick, people. Here it comes.
And then whatever the Orlando Magic are trying to do in the postseason.
We knew that was coming. So we all universally agreed you had to go under. I can't believe this thing closed over 200, 203 and a half, somewhere in that range. A 96-86 winner for the Cavs. This is an impossibility, and this equals the Magic getting buckets. Because essentially, Stan Van Gundy, shout, you just build an effing wall in front of Bankero. And Bankero, who had 21, was 9 of 20 from the field, 1 of 4 from 3. You know, Wagner, who took a step back this year, Franz, he had 18. Gary Harris, 14. Suggs, 9. They just don't have the firepower. You know, what's fascinating about this one, I do believe there's a good chance that Donovan Mitchell, who had 23 and has been the best player in the series, I have a feeling he could end up on the Magic next year.
Oh,
because he's going to be leaving Cleveland. And that's exactly the type of player the Magic could use.
No, I totally agree. This series is interesting to me because it's just a bad matchup for Orlando when you look at Cleveland. All Orlando wants to do is score in the paint. That's all. They're the number one team. They love scoring at the rim. And on the other side, they're dealing with a defense that has Jared Allen and Evan Mobley just standing there waiting to defend all those shots. They're just not used to it. They're not built to take on Cleveland.
Man, so I want to ask you a question because, again, a little nervous about taking on the 76er team. And Embiid was awesome. No complaints about the injury. You got 100% Embiid. You got a great Maxi. What if I told you that the Knicks would be up, your Knicks would be up 2-0, getting two horrific performances from Jalen Brunson? That's crazy.
That's crazy. I'd feel pretty
good. We're back with Sound next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
2 weeks free of our betting splits access, VSiN.com/splits. Of course, the splits updated every 5 minutes straight from DraftKings. See where the money's flowing. See if it matches your opinion. Go to VSiN.com/splits to check it out. Okay, we got you back here. Sharp Money presented by DraftKings. So we had 1, 2, 3 unders last night. So by my math, that brings us to 9-2 on the under as far as the postseason thus far. 11 games, 9 unders. It continues. They'll continue to adjust the number. We're back. Sharp Money presented by DraftKings. I'm Patrick Maher, Dustin Sweetelson. Just quickly, we're going to hear from the participants last night. I just want to take a quick look ahead to tomorrow. Or as I should say, Friday. So, of course, the Knicks and the 76ers and the Nuggets and Lakers, Cavs, Magic, they get 2 days off. So they get today and then tomorrow and then play again on Friday. The 76ers are a 4.5-point favorite, 204.5 on the total. That total yesterday closed 205.5, so they adjusted that one down a point. And then the Denver Nuggets and Los Angeles Lakers, the Nuggets are 1-point favorite here in Los Angeles over the Lakers. 223.5 it closed. They've adjusted the number all the way down to 215.5. That is quite an adjustment on the total. So just to give you an idea with these totals, you're going to be starting to lose the number as the unders continue to cash. We'll talk about tonight's game coming up in just a little bit. I will say this, as much smoke as I'm blowing about the Knicks, I love the spot for the 76ers on Friday. And we're going to hear from the 76ers on Thursday. Why do I keep on saying it? Today is Tuesday, yeah. Tomorrow. So again, 2 days off, but they play Thursday. I love this spot for the 76ers in game 3. You saw Embiid. He was completely distraught. Nick Nurse, who you're going to hear from, he was calling. Now, the timeouts are fascinating because he was calling a timeout. He said he was looking directly at the official. And then when he thought it was beneficial for his team, he kind of took his hands apart like he didn't want the timeout. But then I did see him gesturing for the timeout. So whether or not he called it, look, was the officiating a mess at the end of these two games? Yes. Of course it was. But here's the question I have for anybody that's doing a broadcast on VSiN throughout the day. And I'm not talking about anybody in particular. If the officials individually had an impact on that game, take something actionable from those individuals and then apply it to the next game they officiate. Because just simply complaining into the ether about bad officiating at the end of the game isn't going to help a gambler. The 76ers still covered. the Lakers still covered, and we had two unders. That's the answer. Officiating doesn't matter to us. Officiating matters to us before the tip is the key. Who are we going to hear from here, big guy?
First, we'll hear from Nick Nurse, who kind of goes through that scenario you just laid out, where he was trying to call a timeout, wasn't getting called. This was his immediate reaction, explaining that to the media after the loss.
Obviously, they score. We take a look at getting it in quick. We don't get it in quick. I call timeout. Referee looked right at me, ignored me. Went into Tyrese. I called timeout again. Then the melee started. And, yeah, I mean, I'm not, I guess I got to run out onto the floor or do something to make sure and get his attention. But I needed a timeout there to advance it. Would have been good, but couldn't get it.
Now you're laughing. Indeed, he did try to call a timeout.
No, he did, but then he took it back. And if he really wanted to call a timeout that bad, maybe be a little more animated with it. Like, I'm not saying there's like a certain way you have to do it, but it's a big moment in the game. You want to make sure the timeout's called. Eric Spoelstra runs across the court, and he's like, timeout. He just, that, and then he's doing like one of these, and his hands go up. You want the timeout, be emphatic about it. Be confident about it. It's a big moment of the game. It can't be screwed up. You let it be in the ref's hands. That's your problem as a coach.
Well, what I will tell you is I think he should have called the timeout.
Sure.
As soon as the bucket went in and not even left it up to chance to get it in quickly, as he said. But the idea of an emphatic, like, I don't think they teach emphatic timeout calling. Like, if you're calling a timeout, you should get the timeout. I'm happy. I like the Knicks in the series. I want the Knicks in the series. But I don't think he was. I'll just say this. I don't think Nick Nurse, who nobody knows who Nick Nurse is. Nick Nurse has won a championship.
Yeah.
So I don't know if the refs look at him like we look at him and say, you're Nick Nurse. But he didn't get the respect or he didn't get the timeout. I don't really care. That game is said and done, but I don't think he's lying. I think his intention was to call a timeout, and I do agree with you. He then kind of came off of it, but then he did re-engage and try to get another timeout. It happens. They lost.
Yeah, a little late. A little late. All right, so here we're going to hear from Joel Embiid next. And here's, I don't think he's got his head down in this spot because during this video we're about to play, because like he's sad or crying or anything. Something's going on with his eyes. Remember, JVT brought it up when he was with us yesterday. He was wearing sunglasses at shoot around. Maybe he landed weird and something's going on. Light sensitivity. I'm not sure what it is. But during this whole interview at his locker, his head is down the entire time. Now, he sounds a little bit upset, a little bit down. Obviously, they just lost the game. But something's going on with his eyeballs that I don't know if it actually impacts the game, but just wanted to note that. Here is Joel Embiid reacting to that loss yesterday.
I mean, everybody on the floor was trying to call a timeout, myself included, Nico, coach on the sideline. But they didn't give it to us. But, you know, forget about the timeout. There's a bunch of fouls. You know, that's, yeah, like I said, that's unacceptable. You know, so we're good. We're going to win this series. You know, we're going to win this. We know what we got to fix. We did a better job today, so we're going to fix it. But we're the better team, and we're going to keep fighting.
Ooh, them's fighting words. And I do. Love the spot they're in game three. A 4.5, I think it's a gift with the 76ers. And trust me, I want the Knicks here. Embiid played 39 minutes. We can't talk about injuries anymore. You're good to go, dude. I know you have a bum knee. There's something going on with it, but you were out there for 39 minutes. You dropped 34 because he's awesome. 10 boards and 6 assists. He was great. Maxey continues to be a revelation, where last year, a little bit of a step back in the postseason, 35 points. He was great from the floor, 10 dimes and 9 rebounds. He's the superstar that Tyler Hero wants. People, they're always talking about Tyler Hero and trade packages. No, Maxey's that dude at that position.
Maxey's as dynamic a guy we've seen with the ball in his hand in a little bit now. Like, we're talking like Russell Westbrook type of impact on a game with the intensity he plays with, the shot selection, the shot making, getting buckets, getting others involved. He's a dynamo, man. The guy's absolute electricity every time he touches the ball. He's the guy who scares me. I know Embiid is the MVP. He's the dominant center. And yeah, he's banged up. Maxey scares me in a lot of clutch moments. I feel like that guy is built for big time shots and big time moments.
So the Denver Nuggets are being completely disrespected on Thursday night. That point, look, I'd respect the number, and that is the Nuggets laying a point, if the Lakers had won game two. Because they know what this means. They know what being down 0-2 means. That is a lot of respect for LeBron James and the Lakers for that number just to be sitting one. It really is. So you want to mitigate it, just go Nuggets on the money line. I like the 76ers on Thursday, and I like the Nuggets on Thursday.
Yeah,
what else we got here?
For the Nuggets, Patrick, it feels like their vibe would be, let's get rid of these guys as quick as possible. That way we can have a longer break waiting on whoever we're going to play next. And we'll be 100%
for that. It's a business trip.
Yeah, and roll through them.
It's a business trip. I think you could tell how excited they were. I think that buoyed confidence will continue into LA, and you can't. LeBron James is one of the smartest basketball players of all time. He knows what losing that game. That's why I called it an impossible loss. You got three great performances from your big dogs, and you still lost the game on a last second shot. That's pretty wild. What else?
Ripping their hearts out. Let's hear from LeBron, because LeBron...
Bang.
LeBron took a page out of Nick Nurse and Joel Embiid's playbook and said, I'm going to cry about the refs. Here's what he had to say.
I don't understand what's going on in replay center, to be honest. I think I said it this year or last year or whatever. D'Lo clearly gets hit in the face on a drive. What the do we have a replay center? This is going to go. It doesn't make sense to me. It makes no sense to me. It bothers me. I'm sorry I didn't answer your question, but that shit is like... And then I just saw what happened with the Sixers Nick game too. What are we doing?
Well, he's not wrong about D'Lo. Like, that could have been called a flagrant. Okay. Now, the announcers were even confused about that play because they initially said absolutely he was fouled. And then when the officials took a look at it and called it off, they said, well, it was after the play. Well, then if it's after the play, you can go ahead and levy a flagrant there because he was pummeled in the face.
Okay, but so with that being said, let's say that should have been called a foul. They get 2 points out of that. What happened to the other 18 points of the lead they blew?
Oh, no. It was beyond a dispiriting loss. Like, it was, you're right. They couldn't get a bucket. And it's crazy because if you said, how did LeBron James play? We'll talk to Mr. Talk Hoop, Zach Harper, coming up in a bit. How did LeBron James play out of 10? 10. Anthony Davis, 10. D'Lo, 12. And you lost. It's a tough look for your Lakers. We're coming back with the draft and Connor Rogers.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, the NBA playoffs and DraftKings, an official betting partner of the NBA. Bet $5, get $200 instantly in bonus bets when you use the promo code VSiN, V-S-I-N. It's that simple. $5 gets you $200 instantly in bonus bets at DraftKings for new customers using the promo code
VSIN, V-S-I-N, DraftKings, the crown is yours. We got you back here, Sharp Money, Dustin Sweetelson. I'm Patrick Maher, presented by DraftKings. It's VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. We're going to welcome in Connor Rogers to talk about the draft coming up on Thursday in Detroit. NBC Sports NFL Draft Analyst, also hosts the Jets pre and post on SNY, a great pod about the Mets for SNY as well. You can find Connor on Twitter at Connor J. Rogers. Connor, welcome. How are you?
I'm good, guys. Thanks for having me. How are we doing?
Doing great. Getting excited as the draft coming up on Thursday. Of course, Connor brought to you on the Progressive Guest Line. So let's run through. I know you had kind of a three-man weave at NBC with your mock draft. Of course, Caleb going one. The draft starts at two, right, Connor? So you guys have Drake May going two to Washington. Now, I don't know if that was your pick. Is the expectation for you that Drake May goes two there?
Yeah, that wouldn't be my pick. We obviously did the three-man weave. Everything I expect is that Jaden Daniels will be the pick at two, and I mean, we can always be surprised, especially with quarterbacks early in the first round. But to me, this has been trending for a really long time that Washington is leaning Jaden Daniels. So to really answer your top question, I feel like a lot of people think the draft starts at three with New England, because New England is the team out of the top three that have been the most open to allowing people to come in. I think that has slowly changed, because I think there is expectations from ownership there to come out of this draft with the quarterback of the future. And if you move out of three, it's not saying that you still can't accomplish that, but it definitely makes it more convoluted. So to me, this draft starts with Caleb Williams going number one overall, Jaden Daniels going number two overall. And then when you kind of walk yourself through the Patriots at three, you would think that would lead to Drake May, but I would say the door is a little bit more open for more variance in that spot.
Connor, do you think if Daniels goes two or May goes two, do you think that would be contingent then as far as what the Patriots do at three? Like, is there a player that's left where they don't trade out, or do you consider a trade a possibility there?
I think if May went to Daniels, they would probably be pretty happy to get Daniels at three. I feel like that would be the scenario where they probably stop even letting the phone lines ring. Now, a lot can change over the last couple of weeks where coaches are involved. They might like the talent of a guy like Drake May, the ability to develop a guy like Drake May. And you could say the same thing about somebody like J.J. McCarthy, about somebody like Michael Penix. So I think Drake May rightfully would be the favorite to go in this spot, because I think a lot of the trade rumors, from what I have heard, guys, even not just with New England, but also in that small radius where Arizona could pick up the phone, the Chargers could pick up the phone, things could change on draft night. But the weeks leading up to this moment, the prices have just been enormous, like ridiculously high. The teams are just not considering, you know, hey, the potential of maybe we have to give up three first round picks to come up to this draft to get the third or fourth quarterback off the board. That's just a really, really big price to pay for a guy that you might not be sure on. So at the end of the day, New England could love the creative option of, hey, we'll move back to six with the Giants. We'll still get a quarterback. We'll get all these picks. But it's a lot easier said than done, where my gut tells me they just stay at three and kind of make this more simple and take whichever one of Jaden Daniels or Drake May doesn't go at number two.
We're talking the draft coming up on Thursday in Detroit with Connor Rogers, NBC Sports NFL Draft Analyst, Connor J. Rogers on Twitter. Let's get to the wide receiver. Now, full disclosure, your big board, you have the best player in this draft, Marvin Harrison Jr. Connor, there has been discussion. Will it be Harrison Jr. as the first wide receiver or Malik Nabers as the first wide receiver off the board? My assumption is you do believe it is going to be Harrison Jr.
I'm still leaning that way, but each day that goes by, it's just you find so many people and so many different teams that are also in on Malik Nabers as at least the 1B. And there's plenty of teams that have him as the 1A, where that it makes that situation a little bit more difficult to diagnose. Now, Arizona, like, the favorite should be Marvin Harrison Jr. I think there's even some feeling places of public perception of, are we going to be the team that passes on Marvin Harrison Jr.? And then are we going to look really stupid years from now? And while some people go, well, football people don't care about that, owners do, and owners employ the football people. So these are real conversations that happen in the building. So at the end of the day, if I had to make a pick for Arizona at four, assume, you know, with the assumption that they don't move out of the pick, which they definitely could, and they will definitely be open to doing that, I think it would be Marvin Harrison Jr. But I think Malik Nabers is making a serious run at being the first receiver off the board as well, which is just adding to the theater and drama of this very unpredictable top 10 picks.
Connor, you love Marvin Harrison Jr., the wide receiver out of Ohio State. Could you help our audience understand, do you have a comp for Harrison Jr.? Obviously, the lineage with his father, but he's a bigger player. Do you have a comp for Harrison Jr.?
Yeah, to me, it's A.J. Green. I mean, when you look at the size, the ability really in the 20 to 40 yards, I like to call it, rather than the 0 to 10, those long strides, they build up speed down the field, good routes at that size, guys that can change direction and control their body along the sidelines, you know, at a pretty high level, the tracking A+. And I think where the similarities outside of the body type and the athleticism it really hit is, especially in this area, you'll see this a lot, when the play breaks down, it's hard to find a player better than Marvin Harrison Jr. I mean, his knack for working back to his quarterback, for shielding defensive backs, for climbing the ladder, for the fighting through contact even down the field, and not really looking for the flag, looking to make a play on the ball instead, it's in a pretty different atmosphere. So I think A.J. Green was the closest one I can come up with, and that's pretty lofty praise, to be honest with you, too.
Yeah, it's a great one. So your three-man weave, you had Joel Alt, the offensive tackle out of Notre Dame going to Tennessee at 7, seems to be a likely landing spot. But in your estimation, you've got them 3 on your big board. So you probably go earlier. Do you think Tennessee gets a great one there at 7?
Yeah, Alt's phenomenal. I mean, the size, the mental makeup, the length, the athleticism, it's not just straight line. It's change of direction. When you ask Alt, who's the size of a skyscraper, really get out of the gate and run, whether it's as a puller, whether it's an outside zone, not a lot of guys at that size can simply do that, like on this earth. It's just he's a very gifted athlete. I mean, former tight end, brother was in the NHL, dad was an NFL Pro Bowl tackle, like all the lineage and bloodlines is there. So I think if Tennessee just stays at 7, which they're another one of those teams, guys, that I hear another, once again, like answering the phone, willing to listen. They feel like they could still get a good tackle if they move out of 7. It wouldn't be a player of Joe Alt's caliber, assuming he makes it to 7. But they're a team that's open to moving. But if they don't, you know, you can kind of, you know, clap your hands and say, well, we either get a great player at 7 or we move out of 7 and still solve our needs with more picks. But I think he's just simply too good to make it past that pick.
And now, Connor, the lightning rod. The three-man weave has Minnesota trading up to 5 to grab J.J. McCarthy. I'd like your opinion of the player. What do you think about McCarthy?
This would be too rich for me. I have McCarthy 33rd on my board. I know he's going in the first round. I would assume he's going in the top 13. I do think it was an overcorrection, or what I like to say, the pendulum swung a little too far one way on this one. I think McCarthy, you know, sure, everybody's going to be higher on him than me for the most part. I think he needs a year on the bench. I think he needs seasoning. I think there's talent there. But I don't think he was ever asked to be the true driver of Michigan's offense. I think at times he showed, you know, some impressive ability, especially on third downs. But Michigan was not a, hey, we're going to get into shootouts through the air every week. They ran the ball and played defense, and they needed timely plays from McCarthy, but they didn't need him to drop back 50 times a game. So I think at the end of the day, now, number one, I don't know. I could see Minnesota moving up. That's why they acquired the 23rd pick. But they acquired that pick to give them the flexibility to move up. They didn't acquire that pick to say we have to move up. They wanted to go into this process before their coaching staff even evaluated the quarterbacks and say, okay, well, we have ammo if we need it. If we don't, we can still get two really good players. So is McCarthy the guy you move up to 5 for? Like, this is the thing I can't wrap my head around, that a lot of people, plenty of mock drafts, you're going to read this. Like, this is going to be the trade in mock drafts. And I'm a little bit more hesitant because I just don't, if he falls into your lap, right, if J.J. McCarthy's there at 12 and Denver takes him, like, I get it. I absolutely get it. If Minnesota, even if he fell to 11 and they took him, would I take him over, you know, Drake May or Michael Penix? No, I wouldn't. But at least I understand it. To mortgage a ton of assets that make your team better for a guy that isn't ready to play right now, I have some questions about that. And I try to apply logic to a franchise, in my opinion, that knows how to apply logic. Kevin O'Connell's a great coach in this league. Like, he really understands offense. He understands the quarterback position. You know, Kwesi, their GM, Adolfo Mesa, like, he's somebody that has moved up and down the board before. He understands how to, you know, like, he understands the value of draft capital. I don't think he's going to be reckless, is what I would like to say. So nothing would shock me with quarterbacks in this draft, but I do think it's gotten to the point where we're assuming McCarthy is a guy everybody moves up for, and I'm just not there.
Simpatico. I'm right there with you. I don't get it, but we shall see. It'll be fascinating. Connor Rogers, NBC Sports. Go check out the information at Connor J. Rogers on Twitter. Thank you, Connor. Great information.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me. Enjoy the draft.
Thank you. Zach Harper, Talk Hoops, NBA next.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air and we are underway. The Great American Race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR. The Motor Racing Network. Work.